Recording in progress.
Okay, thank you, Lwazi. Good morning, honorable members of the. Okay, I'm just changing whatever that is here. Good morning, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee of Public Works and Infrastructure. Minister Sihle Zikalala, Deputy Minister. Beni Swartz, acting DG, Ms. Nyeleti, and your team, the team that supports the Portfolio Committee of Public Works and Infrastructure, is led by we have an acting secretary, our content advisor, our researcher, our support team, and the executive secretary. Good morning to you all. As you all know, we indicated that we will be focusing more on PMTE this month and quarter, not because we have any issues with PMTE, but we want this entity because we know what it can do and what it is capable of doing to be fully operational. We wouldn't want to see another entity developed taking the functions and powers of this entity and maybe running parallel to this entity. So today we will be getting a report on how the department will be effectively applying its strategy to deal with the undercapacitation of this entity, which is PMTE. We asking that because we believe that there in terms of human resource within this entity. With those few words, honorable members, I welcome you all in this meeting. Our executive in the form of Minister and Deputy Minister, the acting DG, you are all welcome in this meeting. Lwazi, I have two apologies with me. The first one is that of Honorable Tring. Not sure whether he has joined now, but he said that he will join around 10 or so because he is going to be traveling. The second apology is the one of Honorable Siwisa, also traveling to KZN, maybe in and out of the meeting. So I have those two apologies. Do you have any other apology, Lwazi?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to honorable members. Chairperson, I have received an apology from Minister Zikalala, who has a commitment this morning at the same time with our meeting. And I have also received an apology from DG, Ms. Makubele, who is also having a commitment this morning, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Lwazi. Honorable DM, I can see your hand up.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. Chair, I would also just like to register that the acting DDG for corporate services will also join us a bit late. She had an operation yesterday, so after her physio now at 9, she will join the meeting, but she will join it. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, DM, and we believers, this portfolio committee, in the absence of the minister, you are here, and you will also direct us who will be presenting on behalf of the department in the absence of the acting DG. With those apologies being noted, I then invite the department to present to us.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, the department's functional structure was approved in 2016. This was a review of the last structure previously concluded in 2006. This structure saw the capacitation of both the main vote and the PMTE. The majority of the capacity was structured around the PMTE in 2024-2015 financial year. Because of the size of the asset portfolio, the PMTE structure sought to provide adequate capacity to the demands of the property construction and facilities management environment. Also, with a large portfolio and providing government with accommodation solutions, the structure sought to also address the increasing demands from the client departments. The department's portfolio consists of land parcels and buildings. In our strategic plan, we stated that the immovable asset portfolio comprises of 30,494 registered and unregistered land parcels, about 4.7 million hectares of land, according to the approximately 4.5% of the total country land area on which 80,085 improvements, buildings and structures are located. The total space of the building is equivalent to 33.9 million square meters of floor space. Capacity and skills required in government generally is a challenge, especially in the context of public works where there are significant technical skills required. Some of the technical persons have since resigned or retired, and others have left for greener pastures elsewhere. We compete with the market, and at times we find that we have the right skills, but lack of managerial requirements set by the state. So these are some of the realities we have to live with. Members of the portfolio committee would also appreciate that market trend and forces change over time with new innovative ideas and skill sets. In realizing this, we have tried to present a case for the PMTE, touching on what we currently have as PMTE in terms of capacity that seeks to drive our strategy and mandate challenges and considerations in fully capacitating the PMTE. Chairperson, Mr. Zaba will present from HR, and then, as I said, the acting DDG for corporate services, Ms. Tembisa Chayo, will join us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, TM. I hope, Lazi, that those that will be presenting, you have given them hosting rights, so that they can present to us. Thank you.
Honorable members of the portfolio committee, Deputy Minister, and colleagues from Public Works. With your permission, we would want to request for Mr. Lazi Masangu to take the first four slides, take us through the first four slides of the presentation. I will then take over from slide number six until then. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Can you hear me, Chair?
Clearly, Lwazi.
Yes.
Continue.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. The other Lwazi, Chair.
I know. I know the voice. I can differentiate between the two voices, the Makazi and the Ben. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Chair. And good morning, Chairperson of the committee, members of the committee, Deputy Minister and the management of the department. So I'll quickly take you through, as in adding to the Deputy Minister's point, earlier opening remarks about the strategy and the challenges that we currently have, that will then also speak to the mandate of the department and the capacity within. So this is the presentation where we basically are presenting before you as the committee on your request to look at the capacity in terms of the design implementation. So what we've done is we've then unpacked it in terms of the overall department value chain, so that in each of these elements, you'll be able to see what are the capacity elements within those areas in the department, as well as areas of consideration as we then deal with the issues of capacitating the PMTE against the, some of the challenges that we face, either be the market or within the government as a whole. Right. I'm not sure my slides. I'm not sure whether slides are moving on your side, Chair. I'm on slide 3. Slide 4.
Lazi, are you the one who's moving these slides, or you are being assisted?
No, Chair. I managed to flight it myself, and I'm moving the slides, Chair.
Okay. Okay,
fine. And through your chair, if I then am allowed to then do so throughout the presentation, when my colleagues will do so, we will be presenting. I will also assist in moving them.
Okay, but please ensure that we see only one slide at a time. I don't know why this thing of having two slides, it doesn't assist, especially us that have a challenge of sight.
I've removed that other one. I'm sure now it's showing one slide, Chair.
It's fine now.
Thank you. Yes. So, Chair, in addition to the Deputy Minister's opening remarks, we then sought to strategize or look at the strategy of the department in the context of 7 outcomes. Resilient, ethical, and capable DPW. So you'll see that when it comes to capacity issues, it's basically the outcome one, which is shown here. So it's basically outcome one, where we talk about the resilient and the capable DPW. So the strategy will then focus on how then do you then capacitate the organization. The reason for this as a main strategy or outcome is that if you then look at outcome 2 all the way to outcome 7, they depend largely on the adequate skills and capacity to actually deal with these ones. So in the context of PMTE, Chair and members of the committee, we are more focused on outcome number 3, sustainable infrastructure investment. This is where you will see the value chain of PMTE. And also when I'm linking the value chain, I'm linking that to the asset life cycle when you're looking at the planning, acquisition methods, as well as operate and maintain and the disposal of that. Now, when you break that value chain, it then speaks of the relevant departmental or PMTE units, where we start with the real estate investment services, and then we come to the acquisition in different forms of acquisition, which is basically the CPMs, construction project management in terms of construction and project and managing the project. And then you also look at the real estate management services, which is then also the two different portfolios, one going into the market, which is your private landlords, and then also looking at the second option, which is looking at your state stock or state facilities. And then we're looking at also facilities management, which is also looking at them and ensuring that those buildings are maintained for longevity, and as well as the return on that capital or investment on those properties. So sustainable infrastructure investment is critical in terms of that outcome of ensuring that it forward for the intended purposes, those assets are able to generate. Chairperson, I'm linking that to your statement as well to say this is a large portfolio and revenue can be generated from there. And then that revenue can then be reinvested into managing those portfolios or those assets, which in the long term can lessen the burden on the fiscus, where then we can also from this revenue generated can then find itself into the maintenance of those. So that's the sustainable productive assets. It's also touching on the issues of ensuring that our assets are fully functional. But that then requires the adequate capacity, of which then the breakdown of those programs and the capacity will then express this concern of how then to ensure that working together with the client departments, we are able to then provide the necessary capacity, and how we also strategize on options and alternatives where we then seek to complement the existing capacity to ensure that the PMTE is fully operational. And then in the process, optimized job opportunities, although it's a bigger component of EPWP, but we find that even within the spaces of property management, facilities management, there are opportunities, either job opportunities as well as business opportunities, as we then contract these spaces. So you'll see that also that model of opportunities, it's a part of the opportunities, job opportunities, and professionals that come into the space is also a strategy on how we complement the existing capacity. In cases where there are challenges in capacity, that's when we create a business opportunity, of which then external contractors or service providers can come in to complement the internal capacity. So we are doing one capacity of the organization in terms of the persons and warm bodies, but also complementing what we currently have, which is a limitation to some degree. We also create a business opportunity, which then contributes large to the bigger and broader government broader government objectives of job creation. Transform built environment, those are elements you will also see, I think, in the context of business opportunities as well as warm bodies that will be in, and dignified client experience, ensuring that our client departments experience the best services from the department. I think towards the end of the presentation, this last slide will then also express how we then deal with those issues. So, Chair, I thought I should also bring this as an opening statement, so that then the context of which then the PMTE is structured and the capacitation and strategies will then fit into this program structure, from precinct development, the requisite skills that will be required there. There will be present, the subsequent slides will then show the distinction, as well as delineating those areas of capacity, construction, real estate management, asset register and facilities management. When you look at that whole value chain and taking it back to the opening remarks by the Deputy Minister, you see that we're talking about a large portfolio of a negative figure of over 130 billion, which is a significant amount, and therefore capacity then becomes a prerequisite and a requirement to ensure that the strategy of the department is then realized with the adequate capacity. So, Chair, with those opening slides, I think then I will then allow through you, Chair, the colleagues from Mr. Chan Zalaba, to then take us through in terms of the breakdown of those programs within the department that then drives the strategy of PMT. Thanks, Chair.
Ours will start from slide number 8. We deal mainly with the macro organizational structure of the party management in the entity. At that level of the structure, we acquired a number of management. with the head of the PCD. The very important on the and other ministries, the management, the special project. Provide the feedback or feedback on the filling of this position.
Not sure, honourable members, whether you hear clearly what Mr. Zaba.
Oh, Chair, we can't hear.
Yeah, yeah, I'm also struggling. Even when he was introducing, saying that Mr. Luaz is going to take so many slides, can you please ensure that you are audible enough, Mr. Zaba, please?
Yes, he can come through, Chair, Mr.
Yeah,
Chance.
Can his colleagues please assist him, guys? We can't hear him clearly.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Sorry, Chairperson, Mr. Zaba is making his way to my office, so you should be starting in the next 2 seconds or so, Chair.
We can allow him those 2 seconds.
Yes, Chair.
We waiting, Luazi?
No, Chairperson, he's here now.
Thanks, Chairperson. My apologies. That was to be our best connectivity spot. from an IT point of view, but we've proven wrong. Our apologies for that. We were to okay, in terms of slide 8, we're just providing the macro organizational structure for the property management trading entity, which is headed by the head of PMTE, reporting to the DG. But we also need to indicate the chairperson and committee members that in terms of our macro organizational structure, we have quite a number of senior leadership positions that are currently vacant. We will talk to the status in terms of the filling of those positions in slides that are to follow. But we currently have the position of head property management trading entity, which is the senior executive officer that is currently vacant, the branch head for facilities management, supply chain management, and the property management trading entity. Slide number 9, we just providing the current composition. Slide number 9. We just providing the current composition of the property management trading entity with the facilities management program accounting for the biggest chunk of the cake, with around 52%, and that is so, Chairperson, because of the dominance of the soft skill services, the location of the soft skill services within facilities management in relation to cleaning services, gardening services, general workers, as well as parts of the workshops in the regions and areas where we currently have workshops partially functional, followed by the program that is responsible for administration, accounting for 25% of the total composition of the PMTE. Overall, Chairperson, we are sitting at 4,515 current headcount in terms of permanently appointed staff as well as contract employees, with a vacancy rate of 11%. That amounts to 539 positions, including the 9 contract positions, which I will also clarify why we're having 9 contract positions. The vacancy rate, Chairperson, has actually increased from 10% as at the end of March of the previous financial year to 11% currently. Part of the contributing factors is the fact that we had placed a moratorium on the filling of positions in the department for the month of April to June. That was to allow for the briefing of the new executive, both the minister and the deputy minister, on the departmental programs, the APP, as well as the capacity levels of the department, to also allow the new executive to be able to give direction in terms of which areas should we focus on in terms of the capacitation of the department. We must indicate that the vacancy rate as it stands, it's a percent up above the acceptable vacancy rate as per the DPSA standards. By comparison, Chairperson and committee members, of the total headcount, 12% of those are your contract appointments, additional to the establishment. This also includes participants in the skills programs of the department. The next slide, we are showing the vacancy rate, the staff complement, and the vacancy rate per program. Administration currently sitting at 10%. Real estate investment services currently sitting at 16%. CPM, which is your construction project management, sitting at 14%. REMS at 14%. Real estate information registry services currently sitting at 6%. Facilities management currently sitting at 9%. We are also providing capacity levels in terms of the various regional offices within the department, with an overall 11% vacancy rate as previously indicated. The highest vacancy rate, chairperson and committee members, is within the Bloemfontein regional office. And the majority of those positions are your elementary positions, and it's positions that are already earmarked and targeted to be sacrificed to then activate from the unfunded positions those that they consider critical for activation. So that process on its own, it either looks at the sacrifice of an equivalent funded position from a priority list, or equivalent value, positions of an equivalent value from a compensation point of view, to say the activation of those positions should not necessarily increase the pressures on the compensation budget. It becomes an equivalent trade-off. We are further providing per salary level, the current composition of the various programs, which the first one will be administration, sitting at 10%. We must indicate chairperson and committee members that the salary level reflected 99, just above salary level 1. Those are your participants in the skills programs, your interns and your learners. With the administration program, that is where the entire support is allocated, including that is your HR, your finance, and related functions within the PMTE, with an indication, chairperson, that a lot of the support functions for the PMTE is housed at GPW within the office. So those that are reflected there are those that are in the regions and the whole of finance and SCM within air office. Real estate investment services as the second program, we're sitting at 16% with a total of 163 permanent appointments, 5 contract appointments, and a vacancies totaling 32 positions. Construction project management, we have a total staff establishment of 82 appointments, of which 173 are contracts, 309 are permanent appointments. The 173 it's mostly your participants in the management trainee programs and young professionals programs for purposes of mentorship and training towards the professional registration with the relevant councils. It's not necessarily fixed term appointment contracts. But these are people that we have absorbed from either our bursary, external bursary scheme, even internal employees of the department that would participate in the skills programs for purposes of professional registration. Real estate management services, we have a total staff establishment of 260, comprising of 16 contract appointments and 200 permanent appointments. Real estate registry services, we have a chairperson, a total staff establishment of 116. I think we did talk about this area in the engagement with the portfolio committee last week. We spoke on detail regarding this program. Facilities management, as I've indicated, chairperson, I think you will be able to see from salary levels 1 to salary level 6, that is where the majority of employees within facilities management are located, your cleaners, your gardeners, general workers, and related elementary positions. Even from the vacancies, the majority of those are in those areas. And as I've already indicated, the high number of vacancies in these areas is because a lot of these positions are being targeted for reprioritization to fund the activation and filling of critical technical positions within the property management trading entity without having to increase the pressures on the compensation of employees budget in line with the compensation ceiling that have been imposed by the National Treasury. We are now going to deal with the technical capacity required for the PMTE. We have just provided a list, a chairperson, which list covers the entire PMTE without any inclusion of your support functions, with the exception of finance. Finance is included here because of the nature of the property management trading entity, the direction in which it's going towards the revenue collection, which in a way places a finance as amongst the critical areas for capacitation to also support the finance model of the PMTE in relation to revenue generation. So amongst the critical resources that are required for the PMTE, it's accounting, which is applicable for both finance and the asset registry, GIS, IT in terms of data and systems analysts. Those are required for the asset register, but for your REMS, real estate management services function, we obviously require a property or commercial lawyers. We require property and real estate specialists. We also require your technical services in relation to architects. But as part of the design and the professional services functions that take place before the actual even advertisement and appointment of contractors for your infrastructure projects. We require project management and contract management skills, town planning, land surveying, and related skills. From a facilities management point of view, we require mechanical, structural, and civil engineers. This is because of the previous structure. Chairperson did not have an FM footprint at the head office level, to the effect that the policy, the norms and standard part of FM was not taken care of, to the effect that issues relating to your condition assessment would not be prioritized. Our FM strategy was mostly reactive than proactive. Having this capacity within the FM space will then position FM to be able to maintain the asset portfolio in a more proactive efficient manner. We require your works management, your inspectorate, from a technical skill point of view. We are also alive to issues relating to climate change, to the effect that we are to ensure that our buildings, as we design them currently, they are environment friendly. But those that are currently in existence, if as part of our planned maintenance program, if we're able to rehabilitate those programs to be environment friendly, we are then able to do that. Part of the technical skills within the soft skills category will be your horticultural services, as well as the artisans for the workshops in areas where we're able to enable the department to be able to do in-house maintenance. We are also responsible for wastewater treatment plants for some of our facilities, correctional facilities, and water care specialists. Are some of the capacity that we require as the PMTE. There is also a compliance element with the Water and Sanitation Department in terms of your green drop and the conditions of our water treatment facilities that we are managing on a continuous basis. We are being monitored by the Department of Water and Sanitation in that regard. Just in summary, Chair, some of the HR strategies that we are putting in place to capacitate the property management trading entity involves organizational design and management. We realize that the organizational structure cannot be static. There is a need to continuously amend the structure to respond to new or additional capacity requirements of the property management trading entity. So from time to time, we would amend the structure, which may be resulting in the creation of new additional positions, or the redesign of current positions to focus on a newly defined a function or a program within the property management entity. Recruitment that facilitates the actual filling of funded posts as per the approved organizational structure through your normal processes of advertising, headhunting, retention, transfers, that is transfers within the department, within the PMTE, but also transfers from other entities or from other government departments in line with the provisions of the Public Service Regulations of 2016. We will also capacitate the PMTE through training and development interventions to ensure the upskilling of employees within the department in line with the workplace skills plan, informed by the outcomes of the skills audit. I must indicate, Chairperson and committee members, that we completed, I think last year, the skills audit for senior managers, and implementation is currently in place to upscale senior managers of both the department on the PMTE on the capacity gaps or the skills gaps that have been identified by that skills audit. Very critical, chairperson and committee members, is the role that as the PMTE we play in the skills programs, which we have already indicated, with specific focus on skills and technical skills. We take on board, and we have taken on board management trainees, young professionals, technical interns, for purposes of mentorship, a training towards one professional registration with the relevant councils, but also for them to then qualify for their technical qualifications in terms of the on the job training and experience that is required by institutions of higher learning. In terms of, just to give what has been done currently in terms of organizational design, we have facilitated the creation of an additional chief director or chief directorate within the program management office and the special projects to add on the current capacity that is dealing with the small harbors and the coastal property development program, which is one of the critical programs of this department, but of the current administration, in terms of the activation of and taking advantage and fully exploring the ocean's economy. In terms of the supply chain management element, we have created an additional chief directorate, which was actually a separation of functions of the one chief directorate that was in existence. But that separation, chair, was to ensure that there is dedicated focus in terms of asset management and logistical services, as well as focusing on demand and on and contract management. Demand from a planning point of view, the actual procurement, but also the monitoring of those contracts after they would have been concluded. This has been one of the areas that the department has always wanted to make an improvement on in terms of supply chain management. Chair, we are also investigating a number of requests for structural amendments, which one of them is what we discussed last week, the asset registry, its capacitation, where the intention is to create a proportional number of current contracts as permanent positions. The advantage with this one, Chairperson, is that already the contract positions are funded for on an MTF basis. The actual conversion of these positions will not necessarily result or require additional funding from a compensation of employees point of view. But obviously, we would need to do so, taking into account current dynamics in terms of the National Treasury cost containment measures that were communicated last month to government departments and entities receiving funding from the fiscal. Another request that we are looking at is facilities management, to ensure that there's sufficient capacity to deal with standards, issues of compliance, but also the adequate and compliant operation of our wastewater treatment plants, as well as the resuscitation of the workshops that are not fully functional in certain areas. Also a request in CPM construction project management is also under investigation. Chairperson, from a recruitment point of view, we thought we should provide this background that the current recruitment is done in line with the 2016 approved organizational structure for the property management trading entity. And I think the Deputy Minister has touched a bit on this. But we must indicate, Chairperson and committee members, that the PMTE organizational structure as approved was not implementable in its totality as a result of the limitations that were there from a compensation point of view, as a result of which the department had to embark on a prioritization process in terms of looking at what was available as funding from a compensation point of view, and to say which of the positions that were vacant at that time can be accommodated for advertising and filling. The outcome of that process was the approval of a priority list for the property management trading entity, and the positions that were found to be outside that priority list were then declared as unfunded and were thereby deactivated from the post-establishment. The deactivation from the post-establishment did not tamper with the approved positions in terms of the organizational structure. What then would happen is that the activation of those positions would be considered at a point at which additional funding becomes available for filling of additional positions, which position we almost reached in the previous financial year, but because of the implementation of the cost of living adjustments, which were not budgeted for, that money that was identified to include additional priority positions for the PMTE was then redirected to cater for the cost of living adjustments. As Treasury did not allocate any additional funding, we had to find those funds from our current allocation. A further decision was taken, Chairperson, to ensure that we maintain the capacity levels within the PMTE and the department, to say any position that will become vacant from the 1st of April 2018 moving forward should be considered as funded and should be advertised for filling without further reprioritization. But there was flexibility to allow for the sacrifice of positions that will be considered as no longer critical but are in the priority list. Branches will then sacrifice those positions with the equivalent positions from the unfunded list, to then ensure that those unfunded positions are then activated for filling. I think I've touched on this point that in April 2023 we placed a moratorium with the primary purpose of briefing the new executive on pertinent issues which would inform decisions from an executive point of view in terms of areas of focus when it comes to the capacitation of both the department and the PMTE. We do indicate, Chairperson, that as much as we continue to fill positions, the filling of positions obviously it will be to a certain extent be impacted by the National Treasury cost containment measures, which is another consideration that we are putting as part of the capacitation of the property management trading entity. Chairperson, we were very mindful that one of the critical success factors in terms of the full operationalization of the PMTE, its efficiency and effectiveness, is leadership stability. We have since prioritized the filling of the senior executive position within the PMTE. We're also reflecting the position of Director General, although the position in terms of structure falls within the main vote, but as the Director General is overall responsible for the full operationalization of the property management trading entity, the position of Director General, the position of Senior Executive Officer, also known as the Head of Property Management Trading Entity, the DDG Program Management Office and Special Projects, the DDG for Facilities Management. All these positions were advertised with the closing date of the 26th of May. We are glad to report, Chairperson, that shortlistings and interviews have been conducted for the positions. We have since concluded the internal approval processes, verification processes within the department, and have since submitted the cabinet memorandum and relevant supporting documents to the Minister of DPSA to then facilitate cabinet approval processes. This was done last week Friday, and we got feedback yesterday that work has already started from the DPA side in relation to their verification processes and ensuring that everything is above board and compliant with the applicable legislative requirements. We are targeting a chairperson for the filling of these positions by not later than the 1st of December 2023. Obviously, it's subject to those serving at cabinet and having fulfilled all the compliance and verification requirements that which the Department of Public Service and Administration is currently embarking on. The position of supply chain management executive was advertised at the same time as the above. However, it had to be re-advertised due to the fact that the panel could not find suitable candidates for recommendation for appointment. The position was since re-advertised. It is it closed on the 27th of August 2023. We are currently at response handling in relation to the printing and scheduling of applications. Chair, we receive our applications for senior management positions through email, and part of what we do as part of the response handling processes is to print those applications before we actually process them in terms of your screening processes for further consideration by selection panel members. Chairperson, we also felt that we needed to just give some status in terms of other senior management positions within the PMTE. In total, Chair, we have advertised 29 senior management positions, and I think the top four are repeated. Those are the executive leadership positions within the property management trading entity. You will note, Chairperson, that the majority of these positions, let me say almost all these positions, were advertised in August, and it is amongst those executive decisions that the current executive needed to take after the briefings by the relevant branches in terms of their capacity requirements. These positions were advertised in August. The majority of those we were at response handling in relation to printing of applications, and we've also made proposals for selection committees, which is awaiting approval of the executive. I must indicate, Chairperson and committee members, that in relation to the filling of the executive leadership positions, both the minister and the deputy minister have set a very good tone in terms of the timeline that they took in facilitating and making themselves available to conclude the recruitment processes for the filling of these positions. With the closing date having been May the 26th, and we also had the moratorium that lasted for 2 months, we still were able, by the 1st of August, we still were able to have concluded both shortlistings and interviews for all these four DDG positions, plus that of the Director General. And I think it sets a very good example for senior managers and branch heads in terms of the filling of their senior management positions that report under them. One of the available quick wins in relation to revenue generation, Chairperson, is the itemized billing a program or project of the department. Briefly, we did speak about this one also in the previous engagement with the portfolio committee, to the effect that we have currently a project manager that has been appointed on a contract basis, with the contract due to end 30th of April 2024. I think the view and the position of the department, Chairperson, is that this capacity is required for the future to ensure that there is stability within this project, and we are then able to improve operations and sustain the completeness and the accuracy of itemized billing in the department. We had, as part of the turnaround program, approved several positions for the operationalization and financial sustainability of the PMTE, which also was focused around the financial sustainability of the PMTE revenue generation, as well as the finance model. We had created some 5 director positions, 7 deputy director positions, and a deputy director and an assistant director. The view, Chairperson, is that some of these positions, because the OFSP program has not really taken off as initially planned and anticipated, the view is that some of these positions that were approved for the OFSP should be redirected to capacitate the itemized billing projects. Engagements are already underway with the chief financial officer. And these positions were also funded, and obviously their activation and filling will also need to be considered to the current development in terms of the National Treasury cost containment measures. Another key and critical success factor for the itemized billing project, Chairperson, is the completeness and the accuracy of the asset register, which I think we did indicate in the previous engagement that there is a need for the department to move from pushing for a compliant, fully compliant asset register, but to an asset register that can be utilized to take informed and accurate investment decisions, property decisions within the department, amongst which is the itemized billing project. We think that the asset registry function is very central to the work to the efficient, effective working of the itemized billing project, and we will continue as committed in the previous engagement to capacitate the asset register in line with the capacity requirements that have been identified currently. Chairperson, from a technical and skills program point of view, these are the programs that we are currently implementing for the property management trading entity. For professional registration purposes, we have an intake of 67 participants whom we are currently mentoring. We have also appointed 10 mentors, most of which are retired professionals. But part of what the retired professionals do, besides providing mentorship and coaching to our young and candidacy program participants, is to close the capacity gaps that we have within the technical and skills areas. The artisan development program, we have 45 participants currently. We're assisting them with practical training, trade preparation, as well as the actual trade test for them to be recognized as artisans. The DPW schools programs, this is where we adopt learners at the high school level to consider pursuing careers in the built environment sectors, and depending on how they perform in their metric examinations, they will then be considered for bursaries, technical bursaries, and on completion, they will be taken over into the skills programs of the department, the technical internship program, and chief candidacy and young professionals programs for professional registrations. And some of these candidates are then considered for appointment within the department. The non-employee bursary scheme, it also deals with technical and skills professions within the built environment sector. Training and development, this is internal training interventions for core and non-core that we provide to employees within the PMTE and the department. Chair, key considerations for the capacitation of the PMTE. One is the historic pressures on the compensation of employees' budgets, which we've indicated in our earlier slides that they resulted in the reprioritization of, or in the approval of the priority list for the capacitation of the PMTE to remain within the compensation ceilings. These are some of the considerations, but one of the things that we need to do, Chair, is to ensure that our filling of positions continues to be aligned to the approved priority list, which we've indicated that where there is a need to sacrifice some of the positions from the priority list, we are able to do so for as long as that decision does not impact negatively on the compensation of employees' budget. The second consideration is the National Treasury cost containment measures. We are currently working on identifying critical positions for motivation or further engagement with both the National Treasury and the Department of Public Service and Administration for filling, but also to ensure that we as a department will also contribute in easing the current pressure that is there on the fiscus for the current financial year. The market forces and trends, the fact that we participate in a space where we compete with the private sector for the skills and the specialized skills, and our salary structure within the public service is very much prescribed and prescriptive and restrictive. We're then not able to a certain extent, not attract new skills from outside the public service. So OSD has worked in its introductory years, but currently it is not facilitating easily the attraction of technical and scarce skills from outside the public service. We've spoken about the public sector requirements. One of the things that the OSD does, it prescribes minimum appointment requirements at entry level of your OSD, which in terms of number of years experience, it becomes very difficult to recruit new entrants. But one of the key internal challenges that we were facing from a recruitment point of view, more especially in terms of the core business, is what we call musical chairs. That is the movement of promotional movements of employees from one position to the other within the PMTE, which it sort of recycles the same people within the department, within the PMTE, which necessarily does not bring in a new skill, but also does not impact on the vacancy rate of the PMTE. Chairperson, that will be the end of our presentation, and it is our recommendation that the human resource strategy as presented be noted by the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Lwazi and Mr. Zaba, for this presentation. Honorable members, I now invite you to raise comments, questions, and all that you would like to say in connection with this presentation. I believe, DM, you did introduce the presentation. You will come then later when we're asking questions. Honorable Shingle, you are also welcome in the meeting. I can see Honorable Tring's hand so far. Honorable Tring?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my apologies for coming into the meeting late. I did send an apology. I just landed in Cape Town and joined as soon as I could. Chair, my question is fairly simple. One of the slides, there was a slide with regards to the acquisition of key skills by PMTE. At the same time, however, when one looked at the financial considerations towards the end, one notes also that Treasury is, in terms of the challenges that the country has, and a reduced income, a possibly reduced income from collection of taxes or revenue in the country. This also then places the constraint in terms of the particular skills that are needed. So this creates a tension, Chair, in terms of skills needed, but positions, vacancies not being filled, but also skills being developed. So my simple question is, what is the plan to negotiate around this particular tension with constraints by Treasury and the need by PMTE, as well as the need in the country in general in terms of skilled artisans, technicians, engineers? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tring. Honorable Ntabo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to you, Chairperson, and the department, and the Deputy Minister, and the department and members. Just and welcome the report. Just few questions. On slide 10, it's not clear that those position, it's the both permanent and contract positions have already advertised or not. If I can get the clarity that those positions are already advertised, or if yes, when is the closing date of those positions? I can't remember the another slide on the leadership stability. I just want to know that if even on that slide, there are many positions, there are many vacancies not been filled. I'm just checking the stability on their leadership. Do they have the stability because of that vacancies not been filled? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mchopo. Honorable Sihlalo.
Chairperson, good morning, good morning to all the honorable members. I do apologize. I am under the weather. I've been trying to follow the presentation as best as I can in this state. Chair, just my contribution. My first question would be, is the 2016 framework of PMTE still feasible in 2023? That is the first question that I want to ask. Chair, on the 31st of August, 2023.
Oh, Honorable
Honorable Jabo, please.
Alright, Chair, on the 31st of August this year, I undertook an oversight to Park Road Police Station, the biggest police station in the Free State, Bloemfontein, as well as a police station a few hours from Bloemfontein, that is the one in Odendaalsrus Police Station. My biggest concern in this respect, as far as PMTE is concerned, is that the concern that has been raised previously due to the lack of capacity by PMTE has led to entities like Kwega and DBSA being used as implementing agents when PMTE is the one that is supposed to be responsible for this. And my issue here is, Chair, how do we then hold DBSA accountable as a committee on issues or allegations that have been raised during this oversight where there are service providers that had not been paid, leaving these particular renovations or developments, you know, losing millions rather of money that could have been spent to make sure that we provide police services or police buildings that communities and the officials of SAPS are able to use in a manner that is that offers sustainable service delivery to communities. But I think that we know that Treasury is introducing austerity measures in as far as spending is concerned, and we know that there are a number of projects that will be cut in that respect. And looking at some of the proposed positions and all of that, what would then be the impact of these particular cuts to the proposed structures or positions by PMTE, and how do they then foresee that many of these particular issues will then be resolved from a budgetary point of view? The committee's report of March this year indicates quite a number of challenges facing PMTE, and that is the retention of expertise from your accountants and so forth and so on. How does then the PMTE then look to deal with those issues, considering the budgetary constraints that have been introduced by Treasury in that respect? I had wanted to say more, Chair, but unfortunately I'm just running of short breath and I'm unable to really speak for a longer period of time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Sikhelo. Mine would be in addition to what my colleagues have asked, question that Honorable Sikhelo has put, mine would be, is the structure that was adopted in 2016 still relevant? I think Honorable Stolo has put it in another way. I'm asking that because there are changes that have happened within the department. Maybe we didn't see it necessary to tweak somewhere or somehow. That's the first question that I'm asking. And I think over the years that the last 4 years that I've been part of this committee, I've seen how many positions have remained unfilled in this entity, and which made some young people that were working within the entity leave the entity because nothing was being done to fill some positions. Yes, I can see now that you are saying these positions will be filled maybe by the 1st of December, but I think we all know that there is this memo that is coming from Treasury now. Having let all these years not filling these positions. And lastly, I don't know whether you are aware, I think it's also part of what Honorable Solo has asked in, but I'm going to comment this way, that in many a times, work that was supposed to be done was by PMTE has been done by KUGA and DBSA. Work that was supposed to be done by PMTE was done by KUGA and DBSA. Maybe is it because you lack capacity in doing that work that now is outsourced to DBSA and KUGA? I will stop there in addition to the questions and comments that have been raised by my colleagues. Over to you, Mr. Lwazi or Mr. Zaba.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I will take a few of the questions, and my colleagues will also. I have Mr. Masaji with me. He will assist in dealing with those related to the organizational structure. He's the director responsible for organizational development. In relation to the tension that is created by the National Treasury cost containment measures as against the acquisition of scarce skills within the PMTE. And what is it that we are going to do to negotiate with Treasury to ensure that we're able to proceed with the funding, with the filling of these positions. The National Treasury published the guidelines, which sort of clarifies the letter of the 31st of August on cost containment measures. And it does clearly indicate that there is going to be an approval process that departments will have to follow in getting certain positions advertised and filled under the current circumstances. And I think what becomes important is for the department to be realistic in its approach, number one, but also do a thorough reprioritization of its current positions to then be able to identify those that are very, very critical for fulfilling. So already we are working on the process of identifying those positions. Those positions units will be motivating, and such motivations will be analyzed and presented to EXCO before they are actually signed off by the DG for consideration by both National Treasury and the DPSA. Focus will be on critical positions that which their feeling will impact on the efficiency and the effectiveness of the property management trading entity as well as the department. In relation to positions on slide 10, whether or not they are already advertised, these positions, Chair, are already advertised and are in the advanced stages those executive leadership positions are already advertised and at various levels of recruitment. In terms of the current 530 positions, we only have, I think it's 123 positions that are still to be advertised. The remaining 407 have already been advertised and are in the various stages of the recruitment processes. Those that are not advertised, mainly as we've indicated, Chair, it's your lower level positions which are being targeted for reprioritization, to say that they be sacrificed from the funded priority list to then include positions that are currently not funded but are considered as critical. We advertise these positions on a continuous basis, and I think there will be positions that will be appearing this week Friday in the DPSA vacancy circular. I'm just not sure of the numbers, but on a continuous basis, we do advertise positions. And what we also do, Chairperson, is that on your planned retirement cases, where people are retiring at the age of 65, we are then able to proactively advertise those positions even before they leave the department, so as to ensure that at the point at which they leave the department, we are then able to fill those positions without any gap in terms of leadership, and we target a lot of your technical positions as well as your senior management positions. I think we have two regional manager positions that we have recently advertised. They are not necessarily vacant, but the incumbents, one is transferring, the other one is going to retire in January. So there is that level of proactive planning as well. But those in terms of filling, obviously, we will need to ensure that we align with the Treasury cost containment measures. Whether the many vacancies at leadership level are not impacting on leadership stability, they do, Chair, although from time to time we would appoint persons to act in those positions, but it becomes a chain reaction of acting appointments. And in certain instances, you will not have people to appoint to act, and that would result in a gap in certain areas, and that would impact on your leadership stability. In terms of retention of expertise, like accountants and related professions, as compared to the National Treasury letter, Chairperson, I think this area was mostly for the experience in the area of the asset register, and that was because of the short-term contract that we were implementing at that time. We have since moved from short-term contracts to medium to long-term contracts, 36 months contracts, and we are now moving towards permanentizing some of those positions to ensure that we are then able to retain some of these guest skills. Some of the obvious and factual contributing factors, Chairperson, is that the public service regulations is very much restrictive when it comes to retention, to the effect that when it comes to your accountants, we are then unable to recruit, more especially those that comes from outside the public service. A case in point, we have a position of Chief Director, Financial Accounting and Reporting within the PMTE. That requires an accountant. I think since its creation in 2016, we have not been able to fill that position. We have had five candidates declining on salary considerations. We have since approached the minister to approve that we request the MPSA to allow us to at least advertise that position reflecting the salary range, that is from the minimum to the maximum, so that we are then able to negotiate with potential candidates, because currently the public service regulation requires that any appointment should be done on the first notch of that position. It's even worse with those that are coming from outside the public service for us to then negotiate with them. I think those were the ones that I thought I should respond to. I'll hand over to Mr. Masachi. He's here with me as well to deal with the questions relating to the strategy.
Thank you, Chairperson, members of the committee. I'm going to respond to the question that is related to the structure. I think pertaining to the 2016 structure, whether it is still feasible or relevant. Yeah, from OD's point of view, that is a very critical question. That we should respond to it. As we normally say, structures are not cast in stone. But however, in responding to this question, the 2016 structure, it has got its macro level and micro level. On the macro part is what we have indicated in slide 8. It wouldn't have changed that much, because at macro level, it's more aligned with your the mandate of the department. However, at a micro level, that's where you would typically have changes, and you have to respond to the needs of the organization. And just to answer the question, then I would then say the 2016 structure, it's no longer feasible, because there's a lot of changes that we have engaged, which we have reflected them on slide number 22. On slide number 22, in particular, number three, even though number one and number two, we have indicated some of the changes that we have effected. I think there are also quite a number of changes that are at a lower level that are pertaining to either reconfiguring the existing approved position to continuously direct them where we have got needs. So we have done that, and we are considering as well the various requests from branches where they seek to address areas of concern, areas that are identified. And this, all in all, boils down to amend what we'll call then the existing approved structure. We'll continuously refer to the 2016 structure for simpler reason, because that's what DPSA recognized. They've got a copy that says whenever we do the amendment, we need to follow the processes of the change. And indeed, we are ensuring that we comply. And up until when we have finalized all our amendments, we will still finalize the consultation with DPSA, and they will amend the structure. By that time, we'll have referred to a particular year that they will be having the update. I think that is the last question and only question that I was responding to. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Chair, in addition to the questions and the colleagues have responded, just also to align the questions that have been raised by the committee members in relation to the strategy of the department as well. One is to then point out that particularly the question to say, is the structure still relevant, has been referred to now and also addressed by Mr. Matlat, is also when we go externally, when we look at external forces, the economic trends, we find that that also is a major constraint in relation to the fiscus, but not only just the fiscus, but also in terms of the labor market and the pricing in terms of the rent value for each labor that then brings in a special a skill and expertise. So those are the kind of things that we are also trying to have a balance in. And as the point was made by Mr. Zaba earlier about the market trend and the competition that we also face with the specialized skills and in relation to OSD. So those are some of the challenges. Chair, as well as if you look at again to 2016 and if you look at what's currently happening now, particularly in the context of the built environment, you're looking at the emerging innovative ideas like 4IR, smart instruments that you'll find in the buildings where you can actually remotely monitor the performance of a particular building, as well as even in the construction where you can actually do construction remotely. Now, that then brings the balance now in terms of the structure which was focused on the issues of warm bodies that will then facilitate the administration of those functions. But with the advent of the innovative ideas, then it brings the balance in terms of your innovative instruments, such as your examples, what you call this, drones as one example, when you're looking at on site, vis-a-vis the quantum of warm bodies that will actually be on site. So it's a balancing act. So we are faced, I think I'm linking this question to the earlier conversation about the revenue collection from a tax point of view, which then lowers or narrows the tax base, linking that to National Treasury vis-a-vis the high demands for PMTE. We then are faced with an opportunity cost in terms of what then becomes the cost of an alternative in terms of placing these warm bodies vis-a-vis the efficiencies that are brought in by the smart instruments or innovative ideas. So it is a balance that we are also looking at as part of the strategies that were raised. And I think that also links to the musical chairs that we're talking about, is that the movement within the space you may find that, as again saying, it's, if it's just recycling, not bringing in new skills, it then constrains the ability of also expanding on the structure in response to the demands externally, and then you, and then also the cost containment also do not even allow that process of expanding to respond. But also being mindful of the fact that your expansion in terms of your structure also has implications on the productivity. When you look at the productivity curve, that the addition and successful additions of more bodies also tends to reduce efficiencies within the system. So it requires a reorganization. And that is the point Mahlatsi is raising, that it requires a stronger focus on continuous re-evaluating of the structure in relation to the demands out there. And if you look at, for example, in the space of facilities management, as Mr. Zaba was presenting, of the high quantum of number of soft skills, the facilities management has emerged into a hardcore facilities management. One example, if you can look at SAFMA, South African Facilities Management Association, even though they are voluntary associations. But what you can, what you do pick there is that in the market and in the industry, when it comes to facilities management, you are now focusing on the hardcore, which is a combination of your change management, human resource, financial management, as well as the technical expertise within the facilities management, engineers, etc., couched into that suite of expertise. And that normally come at a cost because of the changes in the environment out there. So those are some of the examples, Chair, and members of the committee, where we are now looking at the balance and engaging National Treasury in terms of how they do capacitate and to respond to those external factors going forward. So Chair, so yes, so in a nutshell, is the structure relevant? It's a continuous debate and it's a continuous assessment and evaluation of the structure in relation to the external forces and market trends to ensure that these are then also addressed. As you will see, Chair, when we present the APPs and stuff, we try to maintain the APP in relation to the mandate of the department, even though to some degree we do have challenges in terms of the current not structural capacity, but then the capacity issues do not then erode the mandate in terms of the APP targets, but we rather say, with the given structure as well as the capacity, how then do we at least manage and manage from a targeting point of view of those and still maintain the structure and still maintain the mandate. So we think not limited, we are saying that we are not limited by the capacity in terms of reshaping and also narrowing the scope of the department. We do continue with the scope of the department in response to the external factors, but we are mindful of the capacity that we have, constraints as well as cost constraints, such that we maintain the mandate, but we are very careful in terms of how we target within our means. So in a nutshell, Chair, yes, that is basically ours. There was a question, Chair, around DBSA and GUHA. Yes, if I can take you back from a risk point of view as well as from an analysis of the emerging trends, the response rate, again, from a government point of view, particularly from a procurement, because this is also another issue that we are considering. Because if you look at even from the Zondo Commission issues that were raised around the procurement irregularities, et cetera, and then the risk controls that are embedded within the processes. The point that was raised now, even on the slide that is shown, is the effect of the contract management, contract administration, as well as contract management. Contract administration from the point of ensuring that the documentation is ready and the time it takes to consolidate those documentation is to improve the efficiencies within that, as well as the balancing of that capacity within the supply chain management to actually deal with those documentation, as well as the core business that then has to manage and oversee the project and to its completion. So what it then means is that, Chair, once you talk about contract management, you are also looking at what are the trends, emerging trends on contract management, and then you look at it internally in the organization. You find that you already have a fully capacitated environment, but then how do you then balance these new emerging trends with an already existing? Hence, Mr. Chance was saying that in areas where there are elementary aspects, how do we then move away from those so that we then free positions that will then enable us to then respond to those contracts? So those are some of the examples, Chair. I thought maybe just as a summary in closing to the questions raised by the members. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Lwazi. Maybe before we invite the DM, Honorable Van Schalvik, she couldn't raise her hand previously. Honorable Van Schalvik.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, Honorable Chairperson, DM, members, and the departmental staff present. Thank you very much for the presentation that has been made, and I also acknowledge the responses that has already been given. But Chairperson, I, without repeating what has already been said, I'm very worried about the vacancy rate, although it's below, or it's in line, some of them are in line with the DPSA directive, but already, Chairperson, if we turn that vacancy rate into the, not percentage, but the actual vacancies, it's really worrisome for me within the current high level of unemployment that the country is facing. So we really need to see, Chairperson, that there's a concerted effort to lower that vacancy rate far below the rate that has been approved by DPSA. Then, Chairperson, I see the regional offices' vacancy rate are not that high, but there's a specific high rate in terms of Bloemfontein and Kimberley. So I really need to know why is that? Is there a challenge in attracting skilled employees in those positions, or what is the reason why the rates are so high there? Then, Chairperson, when we look at the contract positions, we see that there's overall 12% contract positions appointed as per the headcount. And it's also a big challenge to me, because when we see we would rather see full-time employment instead being on contracts. So I welcome the response that has been given that they are going to move towards permanentization of the contract positions. But we really need to see a time frame attached to this, because it's been going on for years and years, and we've been echoing the same sentiment, and it's not resulting in that being addressed effectively. So if we can see some movement in terms of that as soon as possible, also it would be appreciated. Then, Chairperson, although I understand the rationale and the explanation in terms of compromising lower level positions in favor of critical skilled positions. But I know, Chairperson, within our current unemployment stats, we see a lot of people with low and no skills, and they are prospective candidates for employment in those lower level positions. And it's worrisome to me, because when you see people currently being in those positions. For instance, when you look at the cleaners in the specific offices or departments, we find that when it's already very thinly scaled. And if a person resigns or retires or dies in who's occupying those positions, and you are not filling it, you are putting a lot of extra burden on the current employees. And it's a matter that's very, very close to my heart, Chairperson, that people, we have a situation where an organization have mostly high level employees, and the low level employees are bearing the brunt who's currently in filling that, those positions. So we need to see a balance in that instance also, because we don't have to see only senior management positions, but we need to see that the lower level positions are also being filled, even if it's not at the previous scale, but there needs to be attention to that one also. Then, Chairperson, when I look at slide 28, in terms of the technical skills program, we've been very vocal over the years in terms of the candidacy program and professionalizing the young professionals. We see that there is the mentorship towards this professional registration, where the number is 67 with 10 mentors. But can we get an indication of the results that is giving? Because my problem is that we have so much candidates, but they are not qualifying to be professionals, and they are just sitting there with concerns over the past few years from those individuals. So we really need to see rewards there in terms of professionalizing those candidates. Then, Chairperson, we know that in each department there should be a workplace skills plan. And when we look now at lower level people being compromised, I need to know, is there a plan in place in terms of the workplace skills plans to upgrade the skills and capacitate lower level employees to be eligible to be appointed in higher level positions in terms of upward mobility? So what is the department doing to ensure that, instead of just inviting people from outside and not recognizing the people that's in the company? So Chairperson, lastly, I want to welcome the creation of the Chief Director position to focus on the small harbors and coastal properties as a special project, as we've done our oversight and we've asked the department to intervene. So I'm really pleased to see the creation of this position. But by when can we see the position being filled, Chairperson? Thank you very much. I'll pause there.
Thank you so much, Honorable Van Schalkwyk. Any other follow-up questions, Honorable Members, that when they respond to these questions posed by Honorable Van Schalkwyk, there are other questions? In the absence of that, can we then respond to those questions?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Van Schalkwyk, and committee members. In terms of efforts to further lower the vacancy rate to below 10%, we are fully aware, Chairperson, that we can't just be excited by the 10%, and we don't look at the actual numbers in terms of vacant positions, and that is our main focus. Just to take the committee back, I think at the end of 2017-2018 financial year, where the 37% vacancy rate that was shared between the department and the property management trading entity, and we have been able to consistently reduce our vacancy rate to where it is today. It's almost 80% of the current vacancies already advertised. I think we are well on track to achieve a vacancy rate below the 10%, because we also understand that from a compensation of employees point of view, if those positions were not to be funded, the amount of under expenditure on COE becomes very high, more especially for the PMTE. The Kimberley and Bloemfontein regional offices, the vacancy rate being high in both those regional offices, I think mainly for Bloemfontein, the majority of the positions were to be at lower level positions as indicated, and they are targeted for that reprioritization, and we note very well the concerns and the comment by Honorable Van Schalkwyk on us having to ensure the balance on the productivity within the department, but also participating in the job creation program of government through the appointment of youth and those with elementary skills that which would qualify for appointment in positions like cleaners and groundsmen. The overall 12% contracts against the total headcount. These chairperson and honorable members are not necessarily an entirely fixed term contract appointments, but they also constitute amongst them participants in the skills programs. For instance, those who are participating in the candidacy program, we align their appointment to the OSD, which then in terms of the system, although we don't have positions approved in the structure, in terms of the system, we then have to create a contract position to be able to appoint them, so that they are then able to get their stipends and their salaries from the personal system. So it's just that we did not do a breakdown of these numbers in terms of how many of these are fixed term contracts and how many are participants in the technical skills program and the candidacy, as well as the professional management training program. And the permanentization of contract position, as we have indicated, is in the pipeline. Specifically for the asset register, to ensure that we are then able to maintain the current to maintain and improve the current audit outcomes, but also to ensure that the asset register is able to assist the department in taking the necessary and relevant investment decisions. So to the effect that there are those contract appointments that are linked to programs, they are short-term in nature and do not warrant the creation of long-term permanent positions. So from time to time, we may continue to have contract positions, but in lesser numbers, as I've indicated, there may be a need for us to say when we engage with the committee in our next engagements, we are then able to provide those breakdowns to say how many of these contract positions are within the skills programs and which ones are on the fixed-term contracts. The success rates in terms of our candidacy programs, I think it's from reports that we get from colleagues within the professional services branch. I know I should not be talking about a branch because we are here as a department. There is quite a number of success areas, and I think from time to time, even in our work news, we would see updates of candidates who have recently registered as professionals as a result of the candidacy programs of the department. And one of the success areas, Honorable Chair and members, is that for the first time, the department was even able to design and produce mechanical instruments. Like you, I think there's a boiler that was designed and manufactured internally within the department, which boiler is currently in operation. And key role players in that were candidates who participated in the program with the leadership and guidance of Mr. Michael Tadi, director in the mechanical space. To what extent are we utilizing the WSP to upgrade lower levels to then qualify for upward mobility? I think over and above your training and development initiatives, Chairperson, we have a career management component which focuses mainly on internal employees of the department who are interested in changing their careers. They are being guided in terms of the areas that they want to be, what is required in terms of qualifications, in terms of skills, where they are found to have the necessary qualifications, and then those people will be considered for experiential exposure in those relevant areas, which will then prepare them to apply for positions as positions are advertised within the department. I think one of our main success areas, we have implemented that program for our cleaners with tertiary qualifications. And a lot of those who participated and continue to participate in these programs, they end up being appointed into sustainable positions within the department and the property management trading entity. Even as part of our skills programs, some of the participants are internal employees of the department, mostly in your artisan training program. We would enroll general workers and tradesmen aid who have been there at the workshops for years, but lack just the recognition in terms of the artisanship. They will be taken through the program. If at first they must go through the ABET process, that gets to be done. If they must be enrolled with an FET college and later be mentored and prepared for trade tests, we do that. And we have had very good successes in that space. And we think that the resuscitation of the workshops, really, we will assist in the actual appointment of some of these who have qualified but have not been appointed into positions because of one, lack of positions, two, the issue of the pressures on the compensation of employees budget. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Zaba. DM, before I present my closing remarks on this topic. Honorable DM.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Honorable Chair, I would like to thank the Portfolio Committee and yourself for all the your comments and issues that have been sharply raised, and that from our side as the department, we are going to do our best to meet the deadlines that have been presented here and also heed the advice from the Honorable Committee and yourself, Chair, in us fulfilling this important task of filling vacancies which are crucial to the functioning of the department. And that we are always going to be available, Chair, whenever we are requested to submit reports and what is relevant to your oversight. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you so much, DM, and your team. On this topic that we did today, we noted the presentation and the subsequent responses to all the comments that have been made. And we've seen that you really have given an attention in filling leadership positions, as you have just said so, and the one of EEDG and the head of PMTE. We have also seen that you also have a program and intentions of upskilling the staff, mentorship of young people, building of skills pipeline across the sector, and the need to use the asset register as you're presenting to unlock property values. But the reality is that this is not the first time that you are saying these things. We have had this information before. I think one of the issues that we have raised, not only me but other members, is the issue of using the 2016 HR framework. I even say, is it still relevant? I think Honorable Sisolo asked it in another way. I don't think that question has been necessarily addressed, because we're raising that because we want this the department, and also the apologies for that. We want the department and also the entity to have a clear vision of taking PMTE to a level where it can trade the value of government's property portfolio, which means having a clear vision. It shows that you will be ready, or you are ready for the future. But that is not coming strong enough from the responses and the comments that DM and your team have made today. We hope then, DM, that this department and the PMTE leadership, with the executive, that is the minister, as the policy leader, that you will see the need to have real alternatives to what the 2016 HR framework did. We hope that you will be working with Treasury on a plan to capacitate this entity and agree on regulations that will enable this entity to be a tool that will generate funds or revenue to enlighten the burden on Treasury. So on that note, DM, we appreciate, but we feel that there is still a lot of room for improvement in this entity. I think in my welcoming remarks, I did say that we don't want to see this entity being a white elephant or having another entity that will be doing work for this entity. In those words, we welcome the report and the responses that you have made. Really, you have a lot of work to do. There is a room for improvement in all this. We then go to the next item, Lwazi, which appreciating the department for being with us and its presentation today. And can we go to the next item, which will be the minutes of the previous meeting, the department and Deputy Minister, you may then be released from this meeting so that we continue.
Thank you,
Chair. Thank you so much, DMs. Then can we go to our next item, the minutes of the previous meeting, Honorable Members, the meeting that we held on the 13th of September 2023. We received the minutes earlier on, and these are the minutes. Can we then confirm, first starting with the corrections of grammatical errors? Are there any grammatical errors on these minutes? In the absence of that, can we then have a mover for the adoption of these minutes as a true reflection of what we discussed and engaged on the 13th of September 2023? May we have a mover, please, Honourable Members. Honourable Njobo.
Thanks, Chairperson. I can confirm it's a true reflection of what we deliberate. Therefore, I move the adoption of the minute.
Thank you, Honourable Njobo. Can we then have a seconder, Honourable Members? Can we then have a seconder, Honourable Members?
Honourable I'll second, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Van Skalvik. Do we have any announcements, Honorable Members? Do we have any announcements, Honorable Members? In the absence of any announcements, I just want to remind you that we're still in September, our Heritage Month. Can I see you maybe tomorrow? Our last meeting for this term, you wearing at least a traditional attire, please appealing to all of you in honoring our Heritage Month. I think you have seen me in all our meetings this month. I am celebrating the heritage of being from Kosa, wearing my traditional attire. So I appeal to all the members tomorrow, Honorable Sisholo, please, we would like to see you. Honorable Tring, Honorable Van Stelen, Honorable Jobo, Honorable Van Skalvik, whether it's just a duke or some beads or whatever, but let's see members celebrating the Heritage Month. On that note, Honorable Members, I declare the meeting adjourned.
Chair, do you want us to wear dukes also?
That's it, but yeah, you understand that there's nothing wrong with a man in terms of South Africa wearing a duke. Emampondweni, they do wear them. Do you understand?